You may be seated. Turn with me to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 12, and we'll just get there in a few moments. Matthew chapter 12. Last time I spoke on Wednesday was 3 weeks ago, and I spoke on the subject of theology, the study of God. And we talked about the Spirit of God. And I mentioned that when we say the Spirit of God, we can speak of God Himself as the Almighty, the Omnipotent, the Omniscient, and the Omnipresent God, the Creator, who sees all things, knows all things, and is everywhere at all times, reigning over the earth. Or we can speak of God and how His Spirit dwells and speaks to you or me individually. Amen. And I mentioned that this would be a short series, and so we want to continue that the work of the Spirit this evening. And so again, when we say theology, we can either speak of the attributes and characteristics of God in his omnipotence, omniscience, and omnipresence, or we can speak of how His Spirit works in us, through us, and for us individually. And both subjects deserve our time and attention. I certainly enjoy reading and contemplating the omnipotence of God, that He is all power, the omniscience of God, that He knows all things, and of course the omnipresence of God, that He is everywhere present. He is the Almighty One, His holiness, His power, and His abilities. And I am fascinated by creation and the power it took to create this planet and this vast universe in which we dwell. But I also want to know what He desires to do in me and for me and through me by His Spirit. Amen. Because although He does reign over all the universe, He is not a far-off God. He is the close-up God. Your relationship with Him and my relationship with Him is a personal one. Amen. And when we are filled with His Spirit works in us and through us. And that's what I want to focus on in this series, because ultimately and eternally, the Spirit of God in us matters more than all the power and majesty of creation. Amen. So let's go to Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 22. The Bible says, "Then one was brought to Him who was demon-possessed, blind and mute, and He healed him, so that the blind and mute man both spoke and saw. And all the multitudes were amazed and said, 'Could this be the Son of David?' And the Pharisees heard it. They said, 'This fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons.' But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? And then he will plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. Therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, it will be forgiven him. But whoever speaks against the Holy Spirit, it will not be forgiven him, either in this age or in the age to come. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. For a tree is known by its fruit. Brood of vipers," he called them, "how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, brings forth good things, and an evil man, out of the evil treasure, brings forth evil things." Amen. God declared through the the Old Testament prophets, that he would do great things for us through his Spirit. He said, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. And it shall come to pass afterward. Of course, this is the prophet Joel. You know this. It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also upon the servants and the handmaids I will pour out, or in those days I will pour out my Spirit. In Luke 14, 18 and 19, Jesus stood in the temple and declared that he was the fulfillment of Isaiah 61 and 1 when he said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, I want to point out something here that we'll talk more about this later, but concerning the Spirit of the Lord and people, we see two words used. Number one is upon, and then of course number two is filled or filled with. So why is that significant? It is significant because the word upon can mean the availability of the Spirit, as in upon all flesh, poured out like water or a blanket, but not all are filled with the Spirit. And that is by choice or disbelief. And then number two, a temporary working or purpose. It can mean a temporary working or purpose of the Spirit, and the anointing for a special moment or time. Okay? So God has poured out his Spirit, and it is readily available for anyone to receive. At the initial outpouring of the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, first, the Spirit filled the house where they were sitting. It was poured out. Okay? It was upon them, but then they were all filled, this is individually, with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them the utterance. Jesus said, as I quoted, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach, to heal, to preach. Now, of course, the Bible tells us that Jesus was the incarnation and the image of the invisible Spirit of God. He was the embodiment of the Spirit, right? Which is why he could forgive sins, and which is why he could know all things, and which is how he was the creator of all things, as the Bible tells us, right? So why would he need the Spirit of the Lord to be upon him? Because of his humanity. The Spirit of the Lord upon him was to anoint him, his humanity, to do the things he was here to do. And so we can be anointed to be used in certain gifts of the Spirit, right? We can be anointed to preach. We can be anointed to teach. We can be anointed to give, to minister to someone, to say something that's going to minister and help somebody. But first, we must be filled with the Spirit to be born again, to be saved, and to produce the fruits of the Spirit. Amen? And so with the Spirit upon you, you can be used, again, you can be used in a certain moment, at a certain time. But the Spirit must indwell in us. We must be filled with the Spirit, and that is to be born again. That is for salvation. Amen. And so the Holy Ghost in us empowers us. The Spirit in us empowers us to live for God, to work for God, to serve God, and to minister to others. And when we look at the ministry of Jesus, he healed the sick, he brought the dead to life again, etc. He exercised the full authority of the Spirit. Amen. But then he opened the door for the continued work of the Spirit in the church and in us. And so let's look at this our text a little more closely here. So a man was brought to the Lord. A man was brought to Jesus. He was possessed and he was blind and unable to speak. So why did somebody bring this man to Jesus? They brought him, number one, because they had compassion on the man, right? Somebody had compassion on this man. He was possessed. He couldn't see. He couldn't speak. But somebody had compassion on him. And secondly, they brought him because they believed that Jesus could and would heal and deliver this man. And so if we want to see the work of the Spirit in the church, that's where it starts. We must have compassion on people. Amen. We must have faith that God can and will. We must see people. They could have ignored that. And then, in fact, I am certain that some people did, like others we see in the Bible. I am certain that people passed him every day and saw him. And maybe he was a beggar. I don't know. It doesn't say. But people saw him. They saw that he was possessed. They saw that he was blind. They saw that he couldn't speak. And many people did not have compassion on him, but somebody did. Somebody had compassion. And somebody said, if we can get him to Jesus, we know Jesus can heal him. We know Jesus can deliver him. We know Jesus can set him free. Amen. And so a work of the Spirit is compassion and faith, knowing, hey, let's get him to the house of God. Let's get him to the feet of Jesus. And we know Jesus can do a work in their life. Amen. Verse 23, what was the reaction of the crowd? The Bible says they were amazed, and rightly so. Blind eyes were opened. This mute spoke then. And so, yes, that is amazing. When they brought him to Jesus, Jesus did it. He delivered him. He opened his eyes. He opened the mouth to speak. And so the Bible says they saw this and they were amazed. Amen. They were amazed. And again, rightly so. But any work of the Spirit is amazing. Amen. Seen or unseen. It doesn't have to be blind eyes open. It doesn't have to be the opening of the mute. It doesn't have to be the casting out of devils. Amen. Any work of the Spirit, seen or unseen, is amazing. God does things here in our services that few, if anyone other than the person healed or whatever, knows about. But it's amazing. Amen. Those things are amazing. God heals and God works out situations that most of us don't even know about, but it's amazing. God does things in our outreach and in our drive-through prayer that few know about, but they are amazing. Amen. Thank the Lord. In Mark 2, Jesus healed the man who was sick with palsy. He said, I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose and took up the bed and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. Amen. Let us never lose the amazement of the works of the Spirit. Let us never lose the excitement for the work of God. Amen. In Acts chapter 8, we see Simon the sorcerer who followed Philip around in the revival at Samaria and watched him baptize people and watched people healed, and he was amazed. The Bible says Simon himself also believed, and when he was baptized, he continued with Philip. In other words, he continued following Philip around and was amazed seeing the miracles and the signs which were done. But then when Peter and John were sent or came down to Samaria to help Philip, because no one had been filled with the Holy Ghost yet, only they were baptized, they laid hands on the people and the people were filled with the Holy Ghost. And Simon the sorcerer offered the apostles money, saying, give me this power that I may lay hands on people and they would receive the Holy Ghost. And Peter had to rebuke him and called him out for his iniquity, because his amazement at the work of the Spirit became perverted and he wanted to use it for financial gain. Amen. And that in itself is a lesson on the pride that can easily come to our flesh if we're not careful in the work of the Spirit. Amen. Nevertheless, I want people to be wowed when they witness the work of the Spirit in this church and in us and through us. Amen. But let us not be overtaken by pride, in Jesus' name. Let the Spirit work. Amen. Let the Spirit work. Let the Spirit do what God wants to do in this place and in us and through us. Amen. But let us not be overcome with pride. Amen. The next thing that happened in verse 24 was that the Pharisees heard about this miracle. Jesus casting out the devil from this possessed man, opening the blind eyes, opening the mouth to speak. And said that Jesus cast out the devil by the devil. Now, of course, that's an ignorant take on the work of the Spirit. But it shows what unbelief and envy can do to people. The Pharisees were trying to prevent people from believing and following Jesus as the Messiah. They feared that to recognize his power as being from God and the work of the Spirit would legitimize his claim as God and the Savior of the world. They were so entrenched in their rituals and religiosity that they would not dare allow the Spirit to operate in their midst. So they had to criticize it and they had to question it. And there are so many people who are vicious in their attacks on the Apostolic Pentecostals simply for believing and doing the same things the apostles believed and did. Amen? When people in the New Testament church were filled with the Holy Ghost, the Bible tells us they spoke in tongues. They were used in the gifts of the Spirit. But now we are attacked and ridiculed as somehow being of the devil when we believe and practice the same thing. Amen? But in verse 25 says, "But Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, 'Every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand?'" Amen? And the kingdom of God is not only still standing today, it is thriving and growing. Amen? If it was of the devil, it wouldn't last this long. The work of the Spirit cannot and will not be diminished by those who don't believe it. Amen? And so I say, forget about what people say on social media. Forget about the posts and all those things about Pentecostals. Amen. Let's believe the Bible. Let's do it like the apostles did it. Amen. Amen. And let's just see the Spirit of God work in us, through us, and for us. Amen. Let's look again at the first five words of verse 25. But Jesus knew their thoughts. Now, as God, that's expected, right? But as man, that's discernment. And discernment is a work of the Spirit. When it comes to the work of the Spirit, it is very important that we ask God for discernment. Because there are always going to be those who make claims of spiritual authority and boast of spiritual position. Amen. For example, someone may claim that they're a prophet and say things to that effect. But discernment by the work of the Spirit may reveal to you that is false, right? And that whatever is said is to be rejected and not accepted. And the Spirit, the work of the Spirit will give you discernment. Amen. The Holy Ghost will help you and give you discernment so that we're not following after, as Paul said, every wind of doctrine, right? Following after all everyone who calls themselves a prophet or an apostle. Amen? And so we need discernment, and discernment is a work of the Spirit. So we need to pray, God, give us discernment. Amen? Give us discernment in the gifts of the Spirit, when the gifts of the Spirit are at work, wherever that might be, whether it's even in the sanctuary or out in town. Give us discernment. Amen? In Jesus' name. Verse 28 and 29, Jesus said, "But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come. The work of the Spirit has come." Amen? "Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds that strong man, and then he will plunder the house?" The work of the Spirit is to bind the strong man, right? And then take dominion over his domain. Amen. And so the work of the Spirit, you don't just, what Jesus is saying here is, you don't just go into the strong man's house and just begin to take his stuff unless you first bind that strong man, right? And then once you bind the strong man, then you have dominion over that strong man's house. He speak, right? And so you bind the devil, you take the authority, amen, by the work of the Spirit, and then you plunder the devil's domain. Amen? In the Spirit. Amen. And so Jesus said, he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. In other words, denying the work of the Spirit is denying the power of God. Amen. And it is the work of the flesh at best, or the work of another spirit at worst. Amen. Right? If we deny the Spirit of God, if we deny the work of God, Jesus said, if you're not with me, you're against me. If you're not gathering with me, you're spreading abroad. Amen. You're on your own with all of that. Amen. But then he says, therefore, and so in other words, he's connecting this to what he previously said. I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven anyone. Anyone who speaks a word against the Son of Man, I'll forgive you. He says, I can forgive. If you say anything against me, I can forgive you. He says, but whoever speaks against the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit, in other words, the works of the Spirit, it will not be forgiven, not in this age and not in the age to come. So what is he saying? Jesus is stressing here the importance of recognizing and reverencing the true work of the Spirit. Amen. The true work of the Spirit. And Jesus is saying, you don't blaspheme the work of the Spirit. Excuse me. The Bible mentions four things that we do against the Holy Ghost. One is we grieve the Holy Ghost, right? We can grieve the Holy Ghost. Number two, we can resist the Holy Ghost. Number three, we can quench the Holy Ghost, or the moving of the Holy Ghost, right? But number four is to blaspheme the Holy Ghost. And those first three can be forgiven, but not that fourth. Right? Blaspheming the Holy Ghost is a condition of the heart that is developed over time of consistently and habitually resisting and rebelling against the working of the Spirit. Amen. Blasphemy is not an accidental act, but it's a deliberate denial of the Holy Ghost. It's a deliberate denial against the work of the Spirit. Amen. A person's heart, through unbelief, begins to deny and despise and mock or even curse the working of the Holy Ghost and becomes calloused to the work of the Spirit. Amen. At that point, the Holy Ghost can't work. At that point, the Spirit of God can't even move a person. That person becomes immovable. Amen. And so we might ask, well, how can that not be forgiven, but murder can? Or how can we can name all kinds of things. How can they be forgiven, but this can't? But the issue is not whether or not it can be forgiven, but whether or not it will be, right? Because blasphemy of the Holy Ghost will not be forgiven, because the very nature of that sin will not allow a person to even ask for forgiveness. Amen. One commentator said that blasphemy was when one shall, in determined and malignant opposition, insultingly ascribe to Satan that which he knows to be the work of God. Amen. What a sad situation, and what a dangerous place to be in your heart and mind. Amen. Amen. So we must recognize and we must understand the work of the Spirit. Reverence the work of the Spirit. Amen. And be cautiously careful not to mock the work of the Spirit. Amen. And then at the end of his confrontation with the Pharisees, Jesus made two statements that sort of sums up the work of the Spirit. He said, a tree is known by its fruit. Amen. A tree is known by its fruit. And then he said, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen. Two very powerful statements right there together that really, and like I said, can sum up the work of the Spirit in us, because a tree is known by its fruit. Amen. And for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The work of the Spirit will make itself known. I've said this so many times through the years, but it bears repeating again. So many people are so enthused, or people chase the gifts of the Spirit, right? We want the gifts of the Spirit. We want the gifts of the Spirit. Of course, everybody wants the gifts of the Spirit. We ought to, right? We ought to see that. But so many people want that, but there's no fruit of the Spirit in their life. Amen? I say give me the fruit of the Spirit all day long before the gifts of the Spirit. Amen. Jesus said a tree is known by its fruit. If the Spirit is working in my life, amen, then you will know the tree by its fruit. Amen? Amen. Praise God. And if the Spirit is working in my life, out of the abundance of that heart, that mouth will speak. Amen. Oh, praise God. And so the true work of the Spirit must begin within. Amen. Must begin within. So we must, first of all, be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. And then let that work begin in us. Before we go, you know, just wanting to be used in all the gifts, let the Spirit work in us, producing fruit first. Then we seek the gifts. God, use me in this and use me in that. Use me this way and that way. But first, Lord, let the Spirit work in me. Amen. Let the Spirit do a work in me. Amen. So, in closing, let's stand. The work of the Spirit is first and foremost the Holy Ghost in us. Right? We must be born again, Jesus said, of water and Spirit. So when Nicodemus went to Jesus and he was, you know, about to give him these questions and all of that, trying to figure out some things, and Jesus just cut to the chase, said, let's start with this. First of all, you must be born again of water and Spirit. If you want to see the Spirit work, if you want the Spirit to work in you and through you, he's saying, first and foremost, you must be born again of water and Spirit. Amen. And so the first work of the Spirit is salvation for us. Now, as I said last time, in the Old Testament, the Spirit of God would move on somebody. He would move on those men who built the temple. He would move on those who created the garments for the priesthood and all the furnishings of the temple. The Spirit of God would move on them. And men like Gideon and Othniel and men like that and women as well, the Spirit of God would move on them and give them a great victory. But after the day of Pentecost, the first work of the Spirit, amen, is in us when we are filled with God's Spirit, right? And then the work of the Spirit, number two, begins sanctification. And so the Spirit in us, and I'm just giving you some things for next time. The Spirit in us begins the work of sanctification. Amen. Sanctification. Changing us. Right? Sanctifying. Making us holy and righteous. Amen. And then, of course, and then the work of the Spirit, the third thing, is to serve God. Right, to serve God. Amen. Clap your hands and give God thanks. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, Lord God. We love you, Jesus. We love you, Jesus. Can we just take a moment and give him thanks? Thank him for the Spirit. Let's just take some time here before we go to thank him. God, we give you thanks. God, we give you thanks. God, we give you thanks and we give you praise and glory and honor tonight. We love you, Lord. Oh, we love you, Lord God. We love you, Lord God. We thank you for the Spirit. We thank you for the work of the Spirit, Lord. We thank you for the work of the Spirit. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. And we want to see it in us, through us, Lord, for us and for your people and for this city, for this community. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let the Spirit work in every heart and mind in this place tonight. In Jesus' name. Let the Spirit lift our hearts. Let the Spirit lift our soul. Let the Spirit lift our minds in this house tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.